This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. There's more at allbook-books.com. And if you haven't already, check out the Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines. And last week I wrote a piece to help raise money for my good Lakota friend, Teokasin Ghost Horse. That's there's a GoFundMe page. You can read up and, if you can, give some money to help with the medical expenses and the healing process. Of recent years, when emailing and sharing news links with a friend via email, numerous times I would say, not even Tom Robbins could make this stuff up. The news has gotten so wacky and so outlandish. People doing crazy shit. So this is a tribute to the great novelist Tom Robbins, who passed away recently. I'm unqualified in the sense that I have barely read any novels in the 21st century. Probably, I would say maybe three, if I can't even think of them. But Tom Robbins is one of them, and I got into him in the maybe 80s, 90s, I forget. Some of his best known, Another Roadside Attraction, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues, Skinny Legs and All, spicily titled Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas, and what I consider, again, I'm not unqualified, but what I consider one of, if not the greatest novels of the modern era, The Jitterbug Perfume. It's a time-traveling novel with a memorable character named Wiggs Danny Boy of the Last Laugh Foundation, who discusses the evolution of consciousness. And that was much of Tom Robbins' writing. It was very much touching on the deeper meanings of life and mysticism, mixed in with a bunch of lots of sexual imagery and sort of a psychedelic-induced era of mind-boggling images. And the one I remember the most from all the years, I don't remember it exactly, but it was to the effect of the crescent moon, like a clipping, like a toenail clipping. And that's just, that to me exemplifies Tom Robbins' wacky poetic writing style, just images coming out of nowhere. Yet they made sense, and quite the freewheeling style. I was amazed to learn that he actually laboriously went over every line, every word. Because when I was first reading him, it just read like stream of consciousness. So then when I read that he actually, you know, went over every single word very carefully, that amazed me. But it makes sense. And he wrote longhand. He said he liked to see the ink. He liked to see the ink on the page. I think he called himself a wood pulp addict, writing on the pads. Reading about him in the past week online, there's a great quote: "A sense of humor is superior to any religion so far devised." A sense of humor is superior to any religion so far devised. And that's one of the hallmarks of Robbins. I recently read Villa Incognito. And I haven't laughed out loud as much in a long time. And it reminds of the name of the rose. There was a movie about that. A movie about, I forget, some kind of Christian churchy times. And the scene I remember the most was Sean Connery's up in this sort of like this bookcased attic, and this... and this priest is there, and something to do with something in a book. And something about how there's no humor, or there's no, you know, no humor in the stuff. And the priest guy says something to the effect of, if the people laughed, then they wouldn't have the fear of God. And wow, that quote just has stayed with me. Like, that is so much of that severity of religion. Of it's too freaking serious to joke about. In the Ladder of Lights by William Gray, he mentions in the Kabbalah that certain sect of Jewish people who their one of their goals was to make God laugh. I mean that's just right there. The premise is spiritually amusing in the first place, to make God laugh rather than be under the thumb and under the boot. So just to give you an idea of the another one of Tom Robbins. I'm looking at some of the other books. Still Life with Woodpecker. More recent one, Fierce Invalids, Home from Hot Climates, and I think Tibetan Peach Pie is his memoir. I haven't read that. Here in Villa Incognito, which is 2003, just to give you an idea, he's not everybody's cup of tea. So it's wacky funny. You have to have that kind of sense of humor, I think, or be open to that. So here's how Villa Incognito starts. And the character here is Tanuki, T-A-N-U-K-I, is a Japanese raccoon dog. It has been reported that Tanuki fell from the sky using his scrotum as a parachute. This is not so ridiculous when we take into account the unusual size of Tanuki's scrotum. Well, okay, it's still pretty ridiculous. And no less so, just because in relation to his overall body mass, Tanuki's scrotum is proportionally larger than the scrota of elephants, whales, and the Jolly Green Giant. In those days, his testicular balloon bag may actually have been more voluminous than it is today, though that's difficult to imagine since his balls very nearly dragged the ground as it is, and any increase in volume would surely have been an impediment to mobility, if, indeed, not a source of some pain. There is also the possibility that Tanuki had, and perhaps still has, the power to increase or decrease scrotum size at will. Yet, having said all that, we must concede that the role of anatomical size per se in Tanuki's descent is not easy to determine, and a more pertinent question might be, not how the badger managed to use his significant seed sac to parachute to Earth, but rather, where did he parachute from and why? There's like some mythological, mystical impetus to it. And then the second section, knock, knock. Who's there? Tanuki. Tanuki who? Don't be stupid. Tanuki himself. Oh, I see. Well, where did you come from, Tanuki himself? From the other world. What other world? The one before this one, moron. The world of the animal ancestors. His voice could have been shoveled from a gravel pit. Ah, so excuse me then, honorable animal ancestor, how did you get here? Parachuted in. It's strictly forbidden, of course, against all the rules, but what the hell? The farmer looked around for signs of equipment, for a silk canopy specifically, and a harness. Never mind that, growled Tanuki. Well, what is it you want here? To drink rice wine. Sake? Understandable, but I don't think so. From the look of the grin on your face, you've drunk too much sake already. Anything else? Yes, girls. Young, pretty girls. The man snorted such a laugh that something shot out of his nostril. Forget about it. No girl will have anything to do with a funny-looking creature like you. Don't be too sure, old fool, snarled Tanuki, and with that he butted the farmer in the midsection with such force that the man fell to the ground, speechless, gasping for breath. Then, on his hind legs, round belly jiggling like a Santa Claus implant, the badger waddled over to the well where the man's daughter was filling water jars and fixed her with his toothy, high-voltage grin, a smile so overheated and manic and wild it would crack a funhouse mirror or peel the lacquer off the chopsticks in a maiden's hair. Now that's classic Robbins there. Fixed her with his toothy, high-voltage grin, a smile so overheated and manic and wild it would crack a funhouse mirror or peel the lacquer off the chopsticks in a maiden's hair. Now, that fits the bill for this podcast, because that's why he's one of my favorite novelists. He gets lit with literature. He got lit with literature. He said he didn't want anything somber for services, that he would be remembered through his books, so... that's happening. What immediately follows is a brief and only partial clarification concerning Tanuki's nature. To wit, while virtually everyone refers to him as a, quote, badger, to the point where badger is practically his second name, the scientific truth is Tanuki is not a badger at all. Any zoologist will gladly point out that Tanukis are a species of East Asian wild dog, possessing the long snout, coloration, and markings of a raccoon, although lacking the raccoon's famous ringed tail. The fact that Tanukis are nearly tailless, coupled with their penchant for standing upright on their hind legs, undoubtedly plays a role in Tanukis being so generally regarded in an anthropomorphic light. At the edge of a dark forest, it would be fairly easy for the impressionable to mistake a Tanuki for a little man. But thanks to his otherworldly powers, there happens to be an even more legitimate reason for Tanuki's anthropomorphic reputation, as we shall soon enough find out. But before moving on, however, we must address the probability that the prospective reader will have noticed in our narration an apparent and perhaps troubling inconsistency. Unless the author is simply too careless and sloppy to be trusted, why does he sometimes write Tanuki, singular, individual, a capitalized proper noun, and other times even in the same paragraph write Tanukis, plural, generic, and uncapitalized common noun? The explanation is simple. This badgeress creature, like God, is both one and many. Both, in the same instant, like God. As anybody who knows anything about the unknowable well knows, God and gods are interchangeable. The exclusive patriarchal Jehovah Allah freaks are not incorrect when they insist that there is but one supreme being and that he is immutable and absolute. However, neither are the wide-eyed inclusive pagans and primitives wrong when they recognize gods of fire alongside gods of rivers. Honor a moon goddess, a crocodile spirit, and deities who reside in, among countless other places, tree trunks, rain clouds, peyote buttons, and neon lighting, especially the flashing whites and the greens. Thus, if the reader is wise enough not to try to impose human limitations or narrow notions of uniformity on the divine principle, is nimble-minded enough to realize that he or she can be, perhaps should be, simultaneously monotheistic and pantheistic, then he or she will have scant problem in accepting the paradoxical essence of our small friend, Tanuki of the Tanukis. That's Tanuki of the Tanukis. But yeah, that's where you get the, hopefully you got the humor and the stirringness of his writing as he gets into the spirituality levels and the divine and touches some deep stuff you can think about too. And here he gets into this. I want to read one more paragraph because it gets into his commentary that he throws. It's a mix of stuff going on here. Dejected, Tanuki stole a small jar of sake from its cooling place in the well and lumbered off into the forest to brood. At some point during the night, when he was quite tipsy, he began to drum on his protruding belly, as Tanukis are wont to do, and the plabanga, plabanga sound of his drumming eventually attracted a kitsune, a fox. "You idiot," Kitsune scolded him after Tanuki had bemoaned his woeful failure. "How could you be so naive as to tell a human being the truth? Men live by embedding themselves in ongoing systems of illusion. Religion, patriotism, economics, fashion, that sort of thing. If you wish to gain the favor of the two-legged ilk, you must learn to fabricate as wholeheartedly as they do. Actually, by sabotaging their static illusions, we can sometimes help turn their stale deceptions into fresh possibilities for their race. But that's probably a mission you're neither interested in nor suited for. So, just lie to people any way you see fit and reap what benefits you can. But do bear in mind that you should never, ever lie to yourself." That's just a small sampling of a tribute to the great novelist and a fine human being from what I read of his fans and Facebook posts from his wife. And I'll read one quote I saw. This is Tom Robbins. "I've lived most of my adult life outside the law, and never have I compromised with authority. But neither have I gone out and picked fights with authority. That's stupid. They're waiting for that. They invite it. It helps keep them powerful. Authority is to be ridiculed, outwitted, and avoided. And it is fairly easy to do all three. If you believe in peace, act peacefully. If you believe in love, act lovingly. If you believe every which way, then act every which way, and that's perfectly valid. But do not go out trying to sell your beliefs to the system. You end up contradicting what you profess to believe in, and you set a bum example. If you want to change the world, change yourself. There's a Bob Dylan line. You end up contradicting what you profess to believe. Fearing not, I'd become the enemy, my enemy in the instant that I preach. So anyway, that's a small sampling. Check out more of his timeless works from a seemingly distant era when the wacky was entertainment and not just actual reality in the news. But still, it's entertaining and enlightening. So, blessings for Tom Robbins as he journeys onward. And sometimes when I'm writing, some kind of wacky image comes to mind. And I don't squelch it or edit it. I put it on the page. So, thank you, Tom Robbins. Thank you, Tom Robbins. And thanks for listening. Be well.